Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
60% of Singaporeans will divest within a week of a market downturn. 41% of Singaporeans don't have a financial plan. And failure to plan often drives Singaporeans to make financial decisions based on emotion rather than fact. Many, therefore, are falling short in their wealth creation plans. What else? 83% of Singaporeans believe that becoming wealthier will make them happier, but those who have more also think that having more is going to make them happier. We're going to find out more about attitudes to money. We're taking a look at a new report launched by St. James Place Wealth Management Asia, which raises important questions on gaps in investment knowledge and of awareness levels that sound financial planning goes beyond saving. I'm Michelle Martin, all about personal finance and investment on my show. Joined now by Elson Goh, Head of Investment at St. James Place Singapore. How are you, Elson? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Michelle. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Happy to speak with you. I wonder if you can give us a sense of what Singaporeans think is important when it comes to the management of their portfolios.
Well, from our survey, when it comes to the management of portfolios, actually, honesty is the most important trait for Singaporeans, followed by performance as well as communication. And in fact, a lot of Singaporeans actually prioritize trust and are more willing to pay for advice as long as it's grounded on expertise and tailored for their best interests. And I think, interestingly, despite the rise of robo-advisory platforms, we find that most Singaporeans actually prefer the human touch. So saying that receiving face-to-face financial advice is important to them. And what we think over here is that, yes, face-to-face interactions remain effective in terms of easing clients' anxieties when the markets are volatile, like what we have seen this year. And human advisors are able to easily customize the advice based on the client's individual personal circumstances. So, in fact, human advisors not only add value in terms of ensuring that clients remain focused on their long-term investment objectives, mm-hmm. but what they do is that financial advisors can actually help investors to protect from themselves. Especially when it comes to market volatility, a lot of investors could become a lot more emotional and make the wrong decisions. So
yes.
The advisors will be there to handhold the investors or the clients to ensure that they stay focused on their long-term investment objectives.
And protect them from themselves. I like how you said that. I want to check in on some of the finding results that I found particularly interesting. 60% of Singaporeans say they will divest their equities within a week. Over half say they will divest within 24 hours, this in a market downturn. Can you share more about what you see in the report about what drives Singaporean investment decisions and the way they approach risk management during a downturn?
Yeah, I think it's not surprising that we see such figures, basically because of human behaviors. This is what we call in financial behavioral finance, is what we call the loss aversion bias, whereby the pain of losing money is actually twice as much as the joy of the same size gain. So investors naturally will actually be a lot more emotional when markets are down and probably make the wrong decisions to cash out of their investments when markets are not performing as what they would have expected. So that's actually normal human behavior. And from the survey, we do see that, yes, more than 50% of the investors will actually cash out within a week if market continues to fall. And in fact, this is probably the time whereby investors should really think about staying calm and think about should they really think about investing more when markets are down rather than cashing out. Because if they were to cash out at this period of time when markets are down, they're actually realizing their losses and they are not focusing a lot on their long-term investment objectives. So that could cause them to fall short in terms of meeting their long-term investment objectives when it comes to financial planning. So it's important when it comes to market volatility, it's important. And it comes to the next question or the next point you mentioned about risk management.
Mm-hmm.
I think with diversification, I think a lot of investors will be able to manage their emotions much better because with diversification, that drawdown or that market volatility that investors is going to experience will be slightly smaller, and that could lead to a less emotional ride for investors going forward.
All right. Now, what do Singaporeans think about cash? I know that pre-COVID, most Singaporeans say they were satisfied with how property performed, 84%. This is pre-COVID, of course. 82% said they're very satisfied with ETFs. And they thought the most disappointing asset class was cryptocurrency. But I want to ask you, can you dig deeper into the report and tell us what attitudes towards how Singaporeans look at the holding of cash? What do those attitudes reveal?
Well, from our survey, actually cash followed by equities are the most commonly held asset classes by Singaporeans. So in fact, when markets are volatile, it's not surprising that investors are keen to hold more cash and when markets are volatile. But there's also a risk there, especially in such a market environment where interest rates remain low, as central governments look to monetary easing to help the economy through COVID-19 globally. So holding cash in deposits are unlikely to generate any substantial returns to cover inflation, actually. So, in fact, in such a low interest environment, it will prove to be quite supportive for some of those risk assets, such as equities or bonds. And this is what we have seen so far since March this year, whereby the equity markets has continued rally within a low interest rate environment and with further monetary easing policies in place by global central government.
So outside of cash, Singaporeans still like cash, apparently. And then outside of that, then 67% look at exposure to equities, 57% look at investment-linked policies, ILPs, and 56% were looking at property. Now, when it comes to what Singaporeans are very happy to let go of in market volatility, why do you think that cryptocurrency and ETFs seem to be, you know, jettisoned very quickly, some 24 hours after adverse performances?
Yeah, that's a very interesting one. In fact, I'll start with cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. So cryptocurrency is a relatively much smaller market as compared to what we have been seeing, for example, with equities or with the bond market. So whenever there's a big movement in terms of buying and selling, it's going to cause a big movement in terms of the prices as well. So it's going to be a highly volatile investment or in fact, an asset class to look at. So cryptocurrency, in fact, will attract a lot more of the speculators in nature because of its high volatility. And of course, with speculators in place or looking into buying and selling of cryptocurrencies, that movement in terms of cryptocurrencies will be much higher. And so it's not surprising that the cryptocurrency will be sold off very quickly with adverse performance within 24 hours. So that's for cryptocurrency. And for ETS, well, it's a very diversified kind of investment for investors. Although it's well diversified, but it comes down to where human behavior takes place. So emotions come in whenever there's adverse investment performance. And that's what I've mentioned earlier, due to the loss aversion bias within humans, that emotion could take place and cause investors to lose that rationale to stay invested, and they will actually cash out when times are bad.
Yeah, I was surprised to see in your report that as much as 41% of Singaporeans have no financial plan, and that you found that failure to plan often then leads people to make financial decisions, you know, based on emotion rather than fact. What did the survey bring up about what Singaporean attitudes towards saving is like? That's the bedrock of your wealth, right?
Yeah, correct. So from our survey, actually more than half of the Singaporeans actually wanted to commit more than 20% of their annual income to savings each year. But the fact is only 44% of them are achieving this. So one of the reasons behind why Singaporeans are not committing more to savings are due to, for example, high living costs, as well as a lack of discipline in terms of how money is spent or saved. So I think there's a gap here that we need to really answer, is that we need to look into having a much more disciplined approach when it comes to saving, and having a financial advisor in place to help you or to guide you in terms of how you should plan for your future or your savings is pretty essential. And with that, I think the next question is probably to think about, when you have those money set aside for your savings, how do you actually then make those savings work even harder for you to ensure that you have a much more sustainable retirement years going forward. So those are some of the aspects that a lot of Singaporeans need to take into consideration and start planning and have a disciplined way of saving up.
To be fair, although 57% of the people that you surveyed say they want to save more than 20% of the income, and the reality is only 44%, less than half, actually achieve this. 28% say their living costs and their income are not balanced. So people attribute high living costs as one of the main reasons why they do not save. So, you know, maybe something needs to be looked at there in terms of what can be done to help Singaporeans there. But, you know, this show is all about making people's money work harder for them. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about what Singaporeans think is the relationship between money and happiness.
That's also another interesting one. In fact, 4 in 5 Singaporeans actually believe that being wealthier would make them happier.
Mm-hmm.
And almost 3/4 of them mentioned that monetary pressures are a large source of stress in their family relationships. And because of that, over 2/3 of the people in Singapore are willing to spend more time working to increase their wealth. So with that, I think having a financial angle is important, but it should not be at the expense of a healthy work-life balance. So proper financial planning will have to be in place to make sure that we don't try to give up our happiness for more money, but in fact we should plan to see how do we make sure that we grow our assets over time while having a good work-life balance as well. So these are some of the aspects that Singaporeans will have to look into as well to make sure that they have both wealth as well as happiness over the longer term.
Yeah, it's so interesting that people, you know, most people believe that becoming wealthier is going to make them happier. But then if you look at the people who have money, even your report says people with higher personal incomes also feel that having more wealth is going to make them happier. So we think, you know, if I just made a little bit more money, I'm going to be happier. But people already there think the same thing. In fact, 34% of those with a monthly personal income of $10,000 or higher strongly believed that being wealthier would make them happier. This compared with 24% of people whose incomes are below $10,000. So actually, more people who are already wealthy think being wealthier will make them happier. That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Tell me, what are Singaporeans willing to do really to improve their finances?
Well, currently, just more than 1/3 of Singaporeans only have one stream of personal income. Mm-hmm. So most of them actually mentioned that generating alternative sources of income is a priority for them in the next 1 to 2 years. So I think what's important here is how Singaporeans should be able to look into maximizing in terms of the current economic climate to think about how can they use their current savings to grow more passive income without utilizing too much time and effort for growing these side investments. So this, I think for Singaporeans, in order to improve their finances, they probably will need to look outside of their primary income source and think of ways to think of growing their wealth over the longer term.
So they are looking to diversify their incomes beyond their salary, looking for monetary freedom beyond what the paycheck can give them. What do you say to them? What can be done to diversify income streams?
Well, for Singaporeans, the key two asset classes which most of them are personally invested in currently are cash, equities, and of course properties. So I think it's good to look beyond just cash and property or even rental income to just generate you the income. And in fact, equities over the years have been looking at an increasing percentage in terms of dividend payout. So it's good to look at having exposures to various asset classes all around the world, not just into equities, not just into bonds, not just properties or cash, but to have a good mix of those assets all around. And I think diversification is key here when it comes to generating a much more sustainable or consistent income. We should not just focus on a single asset class. We should not just focus on a single market, but look at opportunities globally, U.S. markets, the Asian markets, emerging markets, U.K. markets, European markets. So just to have a good wide of asset classes within your basket. So that's going to provide you with a much more sustainable income over the longer term and to help you grow your wealth in a much more consistent way.
Okay, just curious, because I didn't hear cryptocurrency mentioned there. Do you think that should be part of the wealth diversification basket, Elson?
Well, it's hard to determine the kind of asset class of cryptocurrency, whether it's a commodity or is it a currency. So it's quite a unique asset class of its own. Yeah. And of course, the volatility is going to be quite high. Mm-hmm. And I think having exposures to traditional asset classes like equities, bonds, cash, properties would serve you a long way as long as you keep yourself diversified within your portfolios.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your insights, Elson. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Michelle.
He's Elson Goh, Head of Investment at St. James Place.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.